8. He was prepared to try his unique red key in every door on the 19th floor if he had to. But Jake knew 1919 was right, even before they reached it. Callahan did too, and a sheen of sweat broke on his forehead. It felt thin and hot, feverish. Even Oi knew. The bumbler whined uneasily. "Jake," Callahan said, "we need to think this over. That thing is dangerous. Worse, it's malevolent." "That's why we gotta take it," Jake said patiently. He stood in front of 1919, drumming the mag card between his fingers. From behind the door and under it and through it came a hideous drone like the singing voice of some apocalyptic idiot. Mixed in was the sound of jangling, out-of-tune chimes. Jake knew the ball had the power to send you Todash, and in those dark and mostly doorless spaces, it was all too possible to become lost forever. Even if you found your way to another version of Earth, it would have a queer darkness to it, as if the sun were always on the verge of total eclipse. "Have you seen it?" Callahan asked. Jake shook his head. "I have," Callahan said dully, an armed sweat from his forehead. His cheeks had gone leaden. "There's an eye in it. I think it's the Crimson King's eye. I think it's a part of him that's trapped in there forever and insane. Jake, taking that ball to a place where there are vampires and low men, servants of the king, would be like giving Adolf Hitler an A-bomb for his birthday." Jake knew perfectly well that Black 13 was capable of doing great, perhaps illimitable damage. But he knew something else as well. "Pear, if Mia left Black 13 in this room, and she's now going to where they are, they'll know about it soon enough, and they'll be after it in one of their big flashy cars before you can say Jack Robinson." "Can't we leave it for Roland?" Callahan asked miserably. "Yes," Jake said. "That's a good idea, just like taking it to the Dixie Pig is a bad one. But we can't leave it for him here." Then before Callahan could say anything else, Jake slid the blood-red mag card into the slot above the doorknob. There was a loud click, and the door swung open. "Oi, stay right here, outside the door."
"Ache."
He sat down, curling his cartoon squiggle of a tail around his paws, and looked at Jake with anxious eyes. Before they went in, Jake laid a cold hand on Callahan's wrist and said a terrible thing. "Guard your mind." 9. Mia had left the lights on, and yet a queer darkness had crept into room 1919 since her departure. Jake recognized it for what it was, Todash darkness. The droning song of the idiot and the muffled, jangling chimes were coming from the closet. "It's awake," he thought with mounting dismay. "It was asleep before, dozing at least, but all this moving around woke it up. What do I do? Are the box and the bowling bag enough to make it safe? Do I have anything that'll make it safer? Any charm? Any sigil?" As Jake opened the closet door, Callahan found himself exerting all the force of his will, which was considerable, just to keep from fleeing. That atonal humming and the occasional jangling chimes beneath it offended his ears and mind and heart. He kept remembering the way station and how he had shrieked when the hooded man had opened the box. How slick the thing inside had been. It had been lying on red velvet, and it had rolled, had looked at him, and all the malevolent madness of the universe had been in that disembodied, leering gaze. "I will not run. I will not. If the boy can stay, I can stay." Ah, but the boy was a gunslinger, and that made a difference. He was more than Ka's child. He was Roland of Gilead's child as well, his adopted son. "Don't you see how pale he is? He's as scared as you are, for Christ's sake. Now get hold of yourself, man." Perhaps it was perverse, but observing Jake's extreme pallor steadied him. When an old bit of nonsense song occurred to him and he began to sing under his breath, he steadied yet more. "Round and round the mulberry bush," he sang in a whisper, "the monkey chased the weasel. The monkey thought 'twas all in fun.